KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show, presented by Suburban Leisure Center on Olive, 1 mile west of 141. Now, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
And indeed, good Saturday, good morning. We're off and running 2 hours home improvement. Scott Mosby at your service, 50,000 watts. I stand at the ready to help you. Whatever it is that is your issue, your project, your do-it-yourself project, maybe you're purchasing out professional help on some of these projects. All of those topics are things I can help you with. Think of me as your research and development team. I've made all those mistakes and more. Yep, I'm the walking wounded, let's put it that way. Experience is exactly that. Having walked that path, run that mile, walk mile in my shoes, all that sort of thing, I have actually performed many of these trades, many of these projects, a lot of the things that are wrong with some of the buildings today. I was part of the system, the industry that built that stuff. So not only do I understand what happened and how to fix it, I know how it happened, how it evolved, the logic, the physics, the knowledge, or therefore lack of knowledge, or the change in technology that overnight changed all those truths about construction and wall cavities, where a thermal boundary belongs on a house, vented attics versus non-vented attics, to resistance heat and electric, gas, forced air, steam heat, hot water heat, all those things that have evolved over the years. Some are still here, some are gone. We live in a city in the metropolitan St. Louis area. If you can hear my voice, no doubt whether you're in a rural community, 200 miles away, you still have houses built like this because every community had that incredible home, the town founder, whatever. So there are notable structures of quite a bit of importance in downtown St. Louis, as well as around the listening area. My name is Scott Mosby. I love being with you every Saturday morning right here in the middle of the country. I own Mosby Building Arts. We're in our 75th year, roughly, founded in 1947, I guess our 73rd year. And my father founded it on the premise that if you plan the work and work the plan, you'll come out with a good project. Now, today at Mosby Building Arts, we are some 100 people strong, and we still are on my father's vision, Sam Mosby, of plan the work. Now we are a licensed architectural firm, multiple architects on staff, full staff of every kind of a designer residentially you can imagine, aging in place, certified kitchen and bath specialists, all the topics, cabinet specialists, everything it takes to properly plan out, think out, noodle out, anticipate problems, look for door conflicts where just because you want the refrigerator next to the wall, the way that appliance door opens because of the full swing hinge, for example, on a wine refrigerator, you have roll-out shelves. Will those shelves roll out? Only if the door gets out of the way. So you spend a bunch of money on this really cool wine fridge. The door swings out with a very involved hinging system, but that hinging system pushes the door to the side outside of the 24-inch width or the 18-inch width, 30, whatever size you choose. But keep in mind, all those things are important in planning the work to make sure that the homeowner, the consumer, comes away with what they expect. And that's why we're in design build. My father, years ago, about in the 70s, when design build was getting real big in the commercial industrial process, because it took so long to plan it and think about it, and the world was getting more complex. So the industrial lines that were being planned by the industrial engineers, and then the architects for the build, you get down to today, and now we're Wi-Fi enabling the mattress in the bedroom. And from that same location, you can check and see what's in your refrigerator. So if you don't think this world has changed technologically, that's how many of these problems have changed over the world. Phone lines open for you, please. I'm excited to be here, very pleased to help you. Phone lines for you, 10 of them. Call in. I'll answer the question the best I can. If I don't know the answer, I'll turn it back to our listening audience. You are the smartest listening radio listeners, I think, in the world, because, you know, the whole weekend KMOX format is really adding information and adding value to our listeners. That's really what we do. We entertain, we listen, and oh, by the way, we keep you right up to date with the live staff newsroom, one of the very few radio stations in the country that still does that right here on KMOX. Still notable after all these years, kind of like the Paul Simon song. Still crazy, still notable after all these years here on KMOX. Phone lines for you, your friend, your neighbor, anybody wants to call in. 314-436-7900, 436-7900, toll free anywhere on the globe if you've got internet, 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. For those of you traveling, listening, and as we social distance, traveling is not out of the realm, just who we interact with along the way might be very limited. Radio.com, R-A-D-I-O.com, radio.com has the ability for you to take me with you anywhere you go. Charlie Brennan, anybody in KMOX or any of the bevy of radio stations that the radio.com confederation has put together, you are able to take and listen all over the country. One of the cool features that I urge you to reconsider on is, well, when I say something, you can tell I'm pretty fired up and I'm excited to be here, inviting you to call 314-436-7900-800-925-1120. I get pretty excited about this, and I love sharing this information, and I get going pretty fast. In radio.com, there's a magic button that's called Instant Rewind, which means back Scott up so I can hear what he said 20 seconds ago. Sometimes with my fast pace, I understand it may take a few times. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Mosby Building Arts, by the way, is now, we're definitely in the top 100 of companies by size in the country for full-service remodeling companies. We're in noted as one of the top 20, not because of any thing we do a lot of, but what we do a lot of that we're really proud of is planning it and caring about it. And the reason we do the design build process, because it's like you and your spouse planning the project. You're there. You know everything at that moment. Now you bring in a designer. Well, the designer kind of knows what you want, but not quite yet. It takes a lot of time to build that team, to build that rapport, to really understand, trust, learn the language of each other. You understand how that's like with a spouse. And then you play the gender, like the male-female version of English, which we all share for the most part, and then you bring in a designer, and then that designer kind of clicks with one or both, and then you bring in the how-to guys, you know, the construction team. Holy smokes, we've got a lot to worry about. So anyway, Mosby Building Arts is built so that we have all the designers on one team, all the carpenters, all the painters, all the plumbers, electric, on one team, in one company, vertically integrated, as you business people would understand, because all those rumors you hear about remodeling, they're true. Our model is hire all the people, get them on staff, make sure that they're properly trained and retained on the team so that what I taught them a year ago sticks and gets delivered to the consumer. Because when you have the subcontract model, when you get big and small and big and small, from a business standpoint, that's an easy way to run a business. From a quality delivery model, that's a terrible way to run a business, in my opinion, and I've never been able to overcome it. So we have people that just call back, both consumers as well as our trade partner, trade teams, to remind them, Thursday's the day, 8 a.m., be at the Smith House, and we're putting in, you know, the recessed lights. Anyway, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Bring on any question. If I don't know the answer, I'll be honest with you and tell you. If you ask me my opinion, I'll be honest with you and tell you. Understand it comes from my point of view, and sometimes you may not like what I have to say, because we are all accountable for our part in performing and non-performing various things. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. I am Scott Mosby. This is KMOX. Bosco is my pet gerbil cranking out 50,000 watts right over my shoulder. And I've got Alex Muskoff, my producer. Be nice to him. He's a great guy. Had a birthday last week. I won't tell you how young he is. But suffice it to say, he's a good guy. Give him a call. 436-7900, 800-925-1120. My name is Scott Mosby. I'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show, presented by Suburban Leisure Center on Olive, 1 mile west of 141. Now, once again, Scott Mosby on KMOX.
And back together. Good morning. How are you? Hello, Scott here. How can I help? This is the KMOX Helitech Home Improvement Show, and it is live and lively. Phone lines for you, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. And today, during our slower times, I'm going to talk about removing load-bearing walls, something we do at Mosby Building Arts virtually every day of the week. You might be surprised at the most difficult part of all that. And then also, kitchens and hearth rooms, the additions, which also is related very much to removing that wall. When you put a beautiful space onto the house, how it interplays and changes the flow of that house is the real value. It's not the added space, it's how it changes the interaction. And then curb appeal always, and as it relates to, not at this temperature, if you will, but outdoor kitchens, porches, and pergolas, even in the mornings, the evenings are always delightful. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Let's fire up, get the phones going, and talk with my buddy Ron. Hey, Ron, Scott Mosby here. Good morning, and how may I help, sir?
Hi, Scott. I love your show. Thanks for being on the air.
Thank you.
I've got a problem with my basement. I think it's leaking up through the floor due to hydrostatic pressure. Mm-hmm. Our house is 35, 40 years old. The basement floor, we have ceramic tile on the floor, and about 7 or 8 years ago, after a long period of rain, I noticed some seepage coming up where my basement floor meets my fireplace hearth. Okay. Yeah. I won't say it's gotten a whole lot worse, but every time after a sustained period of rain, like earlier this week, we got over 5 inches in my area. Now I'm seeing this seepage coming up, you know, through that crack. But I'm also seeing it other places in the basement now as well.
Yeah.
And I've had the waterproofing companies out, and they all want to sell me the stuff that, you know, puts the channel around the walls to a sump pump. And I don't think that's my problem. I'm kind of at a loss as to how to attack this.
Well, I think it is your problem, Ron. Basically, take a bucket, fill up a bathtub, and shove that bucket down 12 to 18 inches in the water. The pressure of the surrounding water pressure trying to get into that empty bucket, because you're now, you know, a half an atmosphere deep if you're a scuba diver. You're looking, just the force it takes to push that bucket down, that's the pressure, the empty bucket, that's the pressure being exerted on the walls. So it's kind of like the Three Stooges skit years ago. How do I get a glass of water? Turn on anything, you'll get it. So any hole anywhere and everywhere will be subject to water under pressure, not leaking, but being injected into that boat of a basement, a bucket stuck inside that saturated soil. So the ticket is, however you do it, is you can't stop the water from coming in unless you build a submarine. And that's a big deal. That year into water stops, I mean, even swimming pools leak water in and out. So the cost of doing that is truly incredible. It's easier to just go with Mother Nature, let the water leak in and collect it, which thereby drops some of that pressure. So instead of having 10 places the water comes in, you're going to collect it from the six most common or the easiest ones, low-hanging fruit, if you will, and then collect it and pump it out wherever you want it. So you really can't stop the water from coming into a residential basement in any kind of economical way. And therefore, you're in a collection and then exhaust situation, and that's why you're here. Especially when it gets to saturated, seeping water under pressure, hydrostatic pressure, that there's no other way but to let it come in, collect it, and choose where it goes.
Okay, I understand that. Any thoughts as to why it would change after 25 years?
Oh, just look at the wrinkles on your face. You know, look at the alignment of your spine. I mean, everything changes in 25 years, especially what's going on underground, because think of all that saturated soil. So water moves from up in the surface, soaks all the way down, moves horizontally, finds your house, carries a little mud into wherever that place is. And then do that over 25 years. The drain tile that was original in your home when it was built 30 or 40 years ago, you know, that's silted up. So it no longer, or the exhaust pipe running out to drain the water from that drain tile when it was built, that's plugged up, or a critter got in. Everything changes. So I promise you, and that's why warranties are important, because even really good dewatering systems need maintenance and sometimes warranty help to go back and unwind 25 years of happenings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have good news for you, Ron. I do know the answer. I've been in this, and if you plug your hole in one place, it'll move to the other. And when you're in hydrostatic, no residential home can live up to 4 or 5 inches of rain, you know, at one time without some consequence somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, it normally doesn't start leaking until a day or so after the rain stops.
That's true hydrostatic pressure. That is pure hydrostatic pressure. Because surface water runoff is like a spigot. Water falls out of the sky, leaks right away, stops raining, all of a sudden water stops. That's a leak. Hydrostatic pressure is pressurized injection of water under pressure. And that's after a few days when all that, you ask about what's moving under the soil, a lot of that water moves to the lower areas, and that's relative pressure build. So even the water, you know, 200 yards away from your house can contribute to the pressure of that one point in your basement.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for delivering the bad news.
Yeah. Well, anyway, just be ready. It's just a new set of ears you can listen through, Ron. It kind of is what it is. And you can stop the water, but, you know, you're better off buying a submarine and laying it in the living room. It'll be more affordable than rebuilding your house that way.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Okay. Take care. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. I like to exaggerate to make points. Sometimes I bring humor to soften the message, if you will. But Mother Nature is undefeated. She is also relentless. And did I mention she was undefeated? So that's, you know, in my monologue when we opened up the show, that all those mistakes that have been made out there by others and me, because things have changed. We build a house fantastically the way we know best today. And then there's a new manufacturing material that comes out that changes everything. And now we don't just, you know, slap windows on the outside of house, nail them up, put siding on it. Oh, now we have this house wrap stuff. That's a perfect example. Well, we'll just put the house wrap up, slap the windows on it. Well, we reverse flashed. If you think about water moving on the outside, why would you have a house wrap? Moisture hits on the outside of that house wrap. Water, moisture gets behind all siding every time, all the time. So the water's moving down that new whiz-bang house wrap. Tyvek, if you will, for a brand name. And then it gets to the top flange of that window when the house was built, and the flange is nailed on top of that Tyvek, that house wrap. And not only does it leak, but it leaks worse than if you didn't put the top house wrap on there. Well, so you add technology, but you don't add training, and then you keep replenishing the labor supply with new, less trained, lesser trained, less trained, just as you bring on new people to train into the industry. And, you know, we did some pretty not good things on a lot of these houses around here, many of which were still here, which is why Mosby Building Arts is now built pretty much as a technology firm, because building technology and all that goes into that, the laws of physics, where water and pressure goes, you know, what I did 5 years ago may not be quite right anymore. You know, oh boy, how about that? Let's talk to my friend Linda. Hey, Linda, good morning. Welcome to CamWex. Scott Mosby, a little windy today, but I promise to give you my best.
Okay, appreciate that. Thanks for your show. We're looking at replacing our old wood door on the back of the house. It's west-facing with a fiberglass door. What do you think about those?
I love them. I love them with one major, major caveat. Number one, the west-facing direction, as you well know, is the hottest, most pounding, relentless heat and sun from radiant heat gain there is. So that's the place where the big-dollar windows belong, the big-dollar doors belong. Now, be careful, because that fiberglass door, normal wood door has an R value of 1.5 to maybe 3 R3. You know, an insulated fiberglass door, foam filled, is about an R15 to R19, depending, and then it's got this magnetic or jam up weather. So this thing is a real piece of energy savings work. That being said, if you put a storm door over that fiberglass door, that will create a solar collector in the temperature of that doorknob between that unvented glass and that highly insulated fiberglass or insulated door. That doorknob can hit 250 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay. Yeah, we do have a storm door, and we have to have the storm door right now because this old wooden door, which the house was built in 1972, looks like a sieve if it pours in.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to have a storm door. So we should not have a storm door with the fiberglass then.
Well, there are vented storm doors. And you know, because you and I from our era, it's like if we're putting a storm door on, we're trying to trap and not have any leaking air. Well, when you have a highly insulated door like that, it's not leaking and it's not letting that heat out and leak into the house and out. So you will have to have what's called a vented storm panel. And they have little, you know, you have little slide screens down at the bottom. There's a top down vent where you have to leave a little bit. So at Mosby, we will consciously mount that door a little loose so that it vents at the bottom and the top if it's an insulated fiberglass steel or, you know, high R door.
Okay. Vent the fiberglass door?
No, the airspace. Storm door. Storm door gets put on leaky, if you will.
Right. Okay. So, but if we just open the window and leave it open in the summer, we could do that.
Yeah, the screen on the screen door, you mean? Yes.
Yeah.
Or leave a screen on it, no problem, no heat gain, all that. But if you do any traveling and you get out, you know, south in Florida, Texas, out in the deserts where it gets really hot in the summer, many of these places actually have slip covers over the door handles and doorknobs that face west and are in the constant sun.
Because
customer comes to shop and hits the doorknob and, wow, it's 250, you know. Burned on contact. So just be aware, we're not alone in St. Louis.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, Vicki, and you'll love that door. By the way, on the west, all those creaks and moves and warping and things that wood door is going under, those composite doors that are insulated just don't have those kinds of problems.
Oh, good.
They aren't as pretty. I mean, Mother Nature made wood, and you and I made an insulated composite door. So, you know, who's going to have the prettier of the two? So you can get pretty close.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right, Vicki. Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. Phone lines are open here, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. The other thing I want to talk about, a little bit out of the ordinary, but when we get into really extreme temperatures and when we've got this much heat and humidity coming and rain that then keeps the humidity high, I want to talk a little bit about air conditioning and especially heat pumps, because we've got gas, now we've got high efficiency emergency gas, forced air systems. So you get, instead of pumping all the heat up the chimney in the wintertime, we now have these collecting, if you will, of heat. So the heat has a circular exhaust before it goes out. So instead of blowing flue gas out of the house at 230 degrees, it's going out about 90 or 110 degrees so that we're keeping all the heat in the gas. Well, when you get into resistance heat, that's that basically you're shorting a couple wires, you cause a lot of heat, and then you blow a fan over it. Well, that takes a lot of energy. Then we get into the heat pump. Well, so that's kind of an air conditioner, and I'll explain a little bit what that's about, why a heat pump and an air conditioner are exactly the same thing, because an air conditioner And I'll get into that in a little bit. We're going to take a short pause and come back for more. On University of KMOX, Scott Mosby, I am at your service. Thrilled to be here. Happy Saturday. And, you know, I'm just happy to be here. Yeah, right here. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show, presented by Suburban Leisure Center on Olive, 1 mile west of 141. Now, once again, Scott Mosby on KMOX.
All right, big 4th of July doings, big parade, and then a barbecue, and then we're getting together in a big community picnic together with rides and barbecue and beer and kids. And what? No? Oh, what? No, never mind. Yeah, we are in new times, aren't we? We are here. Phone lines 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Maybe a few barbecue brats at home with a few folks that are inside our little circle of safety. Might be. We'll see. Well, how do you know? Anyway, let's get to my friend here and talk to Vicki. Hey, Vicki, good morning. Welcome to KMOX, and how may I help you?
Well, hello, Scott. I'm looking for your opinion because you're an expert. And just some, maybe if you've got an idea. First of all, I'm disabled, and I live in a 67-year-old house, the same age as me, mm-hmm. and I'm on a cane, okay. and I'm looking to get my bathroom remodeled. Okay. And when this house was built, I think back in the day, they put windows in all the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Well, I got new windows about probably 10 to 12 years ago. And they replaced the bathroom window. But now it also has the small little plastic tiles in the shower and the tub.
Okay.
And now it looks like mold is coming through those cracks in the tile. And the actual, it looks like it has a wood backing. And that's according to my brother-in-law. It doesn't look like purple board or green board or, you know, the waterproof board. It's sure. just like they put the tile or the little, you know, squares over that, and now it looks like it's just full of mold.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I want to get that. I think you would agree to get that replaced, those walls, with the purple board. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what you thought about if just leaving the window like that and or having it completely covered with the liners or whatever it is they use now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And also, if you've ever heard of the walk-in inserts, mm-hmm. Some of them call them clean cuts, to where, you know, I can get into, instead of having to step up, because I have really severe rheumatoid arthritis, so it's hard for me to lift up. And, you know, even I have one handle, a safety handle.
Sure.
Just some thoughts on that of what you, you know, think about those, if they're any good. I didn't know if they go over your tub or they have to tear out the tub and, you know, everything with the walls and if I should cover that window.
Yeah. Vicki, when you have as much, first off, plastic tiles, that was back in the day when we thought we could keep the water out. Plastic tiles, we'll put it on the wall, no water will get back there. What we forgot is the 92% humidity like today, where the water, the air is dripping with water. You know, it doesn't even take a rainstorm to get us wet.
Right.
So basically, you'll have to pull out all those walls. I personally would remove that tub. We do a lot of accessible work, and we've looked very deeply into the walk-in tubs. And if you've got rheumatoid arthritis, it's the curb, the climb in, the step in that needs to go away, not whether or not it's a tub or a shower. But if this rheumatoid arthritis progresses, you may be in a bathing chair, and a bathtub is not going to help you without some ability to lift you up and put you in if you want to live independently. So, and here's the other secret about these bathtubs, these walk, so they are very convenient to get in and out of. But you get in there, you close the door, and you fill it up with warm water. Well, that warm water comes up, gets around your kidney and your bladder, and it's like, ooh. So you drain the tub, you get out, you go to the bathroom, you get back in the tub, you fill it back up with now cold water. Those are some of the practicalities. But if you're into rheumatoid arthritis,
what about a shower where they sit down now?
That's perfect. That's the way to go, is a zero entry, low curb, no curb. Get everything.
I really wasn't impressed with the walk-in tubs.
Yeah, they just don't. When you get into accessibility, you get into the pros debating this. We're not in favor unless you're in an assisted living where somebody can lift you in, lift you out, you know, with a Hoya lift or something like that.
Oh, no. I'm not quite that daddy. I'm just on a cane.
Give us a few years. You and I both.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to the future, saying, okay, I need to do something here.
Yeah, absolutely. Move those walls out because of the mold. I would pull the tub out, change it into a fully accessible tile floor so you're not stepping over anything. As far as the window, that's just money, just budget, because the reason there's a window in the shower in the bathroom is for venting. Well, who's going to open the window when it's 12 degrees in the winter? But that's
exactly. And it also doesn't have any kind of fan in there, too. So I'm basically talking a complete remodel, I think.
Yeah. And in your situation, if you don't, you'll remodel it again in 5 years. So,
well, yeah, and I don't want to do that. I just retired a year ago. Money's kind of tight. I certainly don't want to spend my life savings to go to the, you know, get in the shower.
Yeah. Well, do a shower, please. Tubs are a lifestyle. We prefer that in many cases. But as the years go on and the mobility changes, it just not the easy way. If on our own, if we live with assistance, that's a different story.
Right. Now, have you heard, because that you have to have a bathtub, you can't just have a walk-in shower?
Not true. Not true. Basically, the concept of that is to have an ability to wash a baby. Every house needs the ability to wash a baby, and that's where the tub comes from. So, but there are many, many houses that no longer have tubs in there. So just be aware that's market by market, and it's your personal choice. There aren't many people that are taking baths anymore. It's the shower and the hurry day world.
Now, what would they replace the wall with? Obviously, the purple board or whatever for the resistance, mold resistant.
Yep.
But then they put up
a solid panel, ceramic tile, porcelain tile, big plates. You're seeing if you go looking for tile now, some of those tiles are 2 feet by 4 feet, you know, to get rid of the joints. So there's no limit to the amount of materials that can go on the bathroom. Not a problem. Vicki, thanks for the call. Scott Mosby here. Sorry, I had to get a little tight on time here. Home Improvement, Camo X, stay tuned for more. We've got the cards coming up later on this afternoon. I'll tell you later which game that's going to be. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, Camo X, right here.
Welcome back to the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show, presented by Suburban Leisure Center on Olive, 1 mile west of 141. Now, once again, Scott Mosby on KMOX.
All right, back together, Home Improvement. Let's see what's happening here and talk to my friend Ken. Hey, Ken, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. Let's see if we can get you in here for top of the hour. How can I help, sir?
Good morning, yes. Scott, I'm looking to have a system installed to keep the leaves and debris out of my gutters. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you have any thoughts or recommendations along those lines, because there's several of them out there, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of sold products, products that offer big promises. The bottom line here is that there are two types of leaf shedding systems. One is a hood, like the leaf guard, leaf filter, and those are water surface adhesion where the water flows off the roof, follows that metal bent cap that's over the top of your gutter, follows a curve around down, and when the curve turns so far, the water drips down inside the gutter. So you have this slot of opening, maybe half an inch, that leaves and debris can come in. Waterborne and water carried debris gets inside those gutters. So the Leaf Guard brand gutter has that hood system. Also, there are other leaf systems. I like the hooded systems. They are they don't really block or plug your gutters. When you wind up with a membrane that has holes in it, basically you're limiting the amount of water that gets in, because the leaves will lay flat on that, and there's some type that actually tuck up under the shingles. You have to be careful that you don't negate the roofing warranty of the shingles when you're nailing stuff underneath a new roof or whatever. So effectively, you kind of get what you pay for. They're very fine screen materials. Whatever's that fine, when you wind up with whirly birds and just dust, and just sometimes the pollen can plug those up. So anyway, just be careful. Don't follow all of the promises of the leaf systems. Many of those are sold and not bought. We're involved in putting in all kinds, but the better ones are the hooded ones, because the laws of physics are worked, and they're the most expensive too. They're put in by the better companies, frankly, too. So that's kind of how it is. So Ken, it just, you kind of get what you pay for.
The hooded ones. Okay. Is there a brand name for those hooded ones that,
Well, yeah, the Leaf Guard brand is probably the premium. It's like buying a new car to put on your roof. You'll find that out. But, basically, it's a pretty good deal. Ken, I'm going to have to get off here for the top of the hour for news, weather, and sports. Thanks for the call. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. Stay tuned. Coming up, top of the hour, news, weather, and sports on KMOX.
KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show, presented by Suburban Leisure Center on Olive, 1 mile west of 141. Now, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
All right, back together. Lunchtime, noontime, bean time. Put a few shrimp on the barbie. Yep, put a little bit of grain in the bag and put the feed sack into the barn. Let's talk about home improvement one more hour. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. More fun than I should be allowed to have here at KMOX. Also, sorts of things happening. Hour two, we have Cole Duggar, my producer. So say hello to Cole. He's a little spelling challenge. He's K-O-L-E. We've had a, kind of a go-between for us years now. Cole is spelling challenged. He believes that I am challenged just generally. But we can talk about that. Put your vote in. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. I talked about load-bearing versus non-load-bearing wall. We'll get into that. Typically, a load-bearing wall gets removed when it magically unlocks the flow, the function, the sight lines primarily. In design, if you get into design or know much about it, kind of having an abundance of space, lots of elbow room, we talk about it in that way. As we've gone through this staying at home so much more, we're more conscious of when the walls are moving in or creeping in, or I just need to get outside for a while. And those are all realistic old versions of saying that an abundance is comfort. Having resources feels good, comforting, and like home. So if you have a wall between here and the family room, you're in the kitchen a lot. In the 70s and 60s, 70s, 80s, we built kitchens out right under themselves. Nobody wanted to show you my dirty dishes. Well, what that did is it sequestered whoever was preparing food. Now, that is a communal whole family activity and a measure of status for guests. If I'm important, I get the ability, invited into the kitchen with mom, sister, brother, friend, whatever. If I'm a really good friend, I get to come in the back door or through the garage. Well, that's another measure. If you're really important, you're helping in the kitchen. Well, that makes kitchens bigger. And then as they get bigger, they're away from the people, the very gathering we want to be part of. You know, for example, on a 4th of July gathering like now, many of us will still gather in smaller areas like that. But if you remove that wall, you're looking all the way across the family room, all the way across the living room, whatever it is, out to that patio door, back door, the view outdoors, the landscaping, the deck, whatever it is. So sight lines matter. And that is how load-bearing walls are really a cheap date, an inexpensive way to add an enormous amount of function back into an underused room, which is typically on the other side of that load-bearing wall. I'll get into that a little bit. I promised in hour one, heat pump versus AC air conditioners. If you think about an aerosol can, going back to remember with the spray-on deodorant, hairspray, all those aerosols were compressed air, a compressed gas, and when that was sprayed out, the pressure dropped inside that can, and when the pressure drops, the temperature drops. So T1, P1, as the P1 drops, pressure drops, then so direct proportion the temperature does as well. And so when you expand a gas or let it out, you get a byproduct of cold. And therefore, an air conditioner, that thing outside your house, the condenser, compressor, the fan thing running all the time that we have to keep clean and the dust and the critters away and all that, that compresses the gas back into a liquid, puts it back inside the house where it has an expansion valve in the coil, whether flat coil, A coil, whatever it is, and that high pressure liquid gets sprayed into an aerosol, and the pressure drops. During that pressure drop, it creates cool air, goes past that coil and cools the air moving past, and therefore air conditioning occurs in our house. Well, that's an air-to-air heat pump, because outside, when we then take that gas, low pressure gas, back out to the condenser or compressor outside, we compress it up, and as we press that gas into a pressure, it gains heat. Well, what we want to do is dump the heat outside the house, so that's why you have that fan. But you're trying to take heat from inside the house and that compressed gas, now liquid, and dump it into a hot air. Well, in a geothermal situation, you're dumping that hot temperature into a cave, because it's down below the ground, just like a cave. So the thermal constant, you hear about a cave, 55, 57 degrees Fahrenheit, 58, depending. You're in that area. So the delta between, say, 55 and 70, what you're trying to cool to, is 15 degrees. Well, on a day like today, or later on this week, it may hit 100 degrees. That's a 30-degree temperature delta. Or when it gets really cold and it's zero and you're trying to heat up to 70, that's a 70 degrees difference or delta. So the point being that when you can exchange that heat and cool, depending on the season, if you can do it with a cave, you're just a whole lot better, and that's really what geothermal, all it is burying your heat pump under the ground. It's a little more complex than that, but that's kind of the concept of it. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Great questions in the first hour. So each question had three or four questions in it, and three or four topics. It was very good to know. 314-436-7900. 436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. My name is Scott Mosby. I own and operate Mosby Building Arts. We've been around since 1947. We are a family business. The family is now outside the family and includes our customers, our clients, our suppliers, all of our associates, many of the people around the community, the municipalities we're involved with for permitting, plan review, all of that oversight that brings the whole package to you as a consumer in a complete, thought out, and finished way that works. So anyway, that's our thing. And it's kind of a fun way to do it, because if you're subcontracting everything as a consumer, boy, you just hope those guys show up. Well, if you have all the employees, you kind of have a lot more leverage to get them there on time. And also, when they get there, you know what they know. and they're going to deliver the best knowledge they have. And on a subcontractor thing, you're never really sure who it is. So that's how and why Mosby Building Arts is built the way we are. It's just a lot more fun, higher quality, better communication, because it's just flat easier to do it that way with your own people. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. My name is Scott Mosby. I promise you my very best in this one more hour of the Helitech Home Improvement Show, also sponsored by Suburban Leisure Center. Yeah, think about that. You know, this evening, a little leisure outdoor on a nice suburb. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that. Anyway, we'll be back for more after this on University of KMOX. All right, Scott Mosby, hour two. We're going up till, retire ready. And then the business, a family business later on today, coming up on KMOX. Big afternoon, lots of things happening. Let's go to my friend Cindy and see what's happening on the phone lines. Cindy, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help?
Good afternoon, Scott. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
Okay, this is probably one of the most simple questions you'll have today, but I can't figure it out. When I flush the toilet in the powder room on the first floor, we have two stories, it sings, and I know that's usually air in the pipe. Mm-hmm. And it's really a long, it's not just a little bit. You shake it a little bit, it still sings. But the weird thing is when I turn the faucet on in the sink, it stops. And then when I turn the faucet on in the sink right next to the toilet, it starts back off and on. It's like really weird. Yeah. So we turned the main water off, opened all the drains everywhere, tried to flush it out, whatever air was there, and it's still doing it.
Okay, you've got a toilet valve issue. And the reason it's changing when you turn the faucet on and off is when you turn the water on, it drops the pressure. So in one of your toilets, probably the one that's making the noise or singing, as you described, Cindy, the filler valve, the ball cock, you know, the float thing that turns the water on and off that fills up the toilet tank, that spring or the pressure mechanism is getting tired. It's just wearing out. And when you have high water pressure, it won't allow that lever, that float, that mechanism to shut the water off. It just kind of lets a little bit go through, just like it would be on playing a little clarinet or an oboe on a musical reed instrument. And that's where you get the singing. So the issue, and there are valves in shutoffs, electrical in your dishwasher and your clothes washer, likewise in your toilets, they're a mechanical version of that. And when the pressure is high, it will overcome that spring and just keep floating a little bit of water into that tank. The byproduct is that sound. So you need to get your toilet or toilets valve replaced, if you will. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes.
And you did the right thing. You did the right thing trying to drain down in the air, because all this is the process of elimination. None of us really know quite which one is the culprit causing the sound, but by golly, we've got the sound. So you drained all the water out of the system, brings the air back into those air chambers built into your house. So you didn't waste your time. You just did step one of one.
Okay. Thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
All right, Cindy, take care. Bye now.
Bye.
And over the years, I have become a big fan. I used to just go to the hardware store, get any brand, you know, whatever would fit into that toilet, put it in. Toilets now, and I talked about technology in hour one. Boy, howdy, think about that. Toilets are now rocket science. I mean, literally rocket science. You know, the filler valves in these things are very, I mean, even the model, the type, the flushing mechanism, pressure assisted, all of that. So what I'm saying is OEM, original equipment, which means that if you have an American standard toilet, buy an American standard part. If you have a Kohler toilet, buy the American or buy the Kohler brand part for that. And you can take that on a toilet tank. You take the lid, you lift it up, and you flip it over. And stamped into the bottom side, the inside china part of that toilet lid, will be some numbers. You know, for a Kohler, it'll be like a K-4706. Or sometimes if it's not on the lid, and some lids break and get replaced, it'll be stamped on the inside wall of that filler tank. And keep in mind, that tank may be one of four tanks that can work on the bottom part of the toilet. So take a photo of that toilet, take those numbers down, photograph the inside numbers there, and then take that to a wholesale supply house that handles that brand. And I advocate that. It's a lot harder, takes a lot more time, and takes a lot of knowledge. Let's cook up here and talk with Barb. Hey, Barb, good afternoon. Welcome to KMWX. How can I help?
Hey, a question about a composite deck.
Uh-huh.
We moved into a house that's 20 years old with a villa, and all the decks are composite. So it's 20 years old, and we don't know, you know, how to hook it up a little.
Composite decks, you're kind of in, number one, are you in a villa where the community association takes care of the outside of your building?
Yes, but they don't.
Yeah, but they don't. I know, yeah. Yeah, you're one of 24 or one of 80 or what? Yeah. I would give it a bath. Most of the composites are not immune, especially the older ones, to having moisture soak in, mold and mildew, and just having a black kind of mildewy fog to them. And those are scrubbable situations. You just need to stay on it. So every time you wash your car, you pretty much go out and wash your deck. And it is a soap and water pressure, you know, not a high pressure thing. You just scrub it with a brush. I use a stiff bristled push broom or a scrub brush, and I do soap and water, rinse it down. Hopefully you're not over the top of somebody else's deck below. And then likewise, I'll take a 1-4 mixture of chlorine bleach to 3 parts water. So 1 part, like a quart of chlorine bleach, you know, just from the laundry, to 3 quarts or 4 quarts of water. And that's what kills that black mold mildew. It'll last for about generally most of a summer, but good old St. Louis, when we had this high heat, high humidity, and then direct sunlight, we can grow anything anywhere, and we do, and on your composite. So
I'm going to have a lot of mold, and I whenever I wash the awning that goes out over it, it kind of cleans the deck, but it looks dull.
Yeah, like, well, that's
all. But you can't paint them?
Yes, you can, and no, you shouldn't. Because you're painting a vinyl, you're painting a composite, you may be painting a polyethylene recycled milk jug. And they, you know, paint just doesn't stick to that stuff very well. You can wax them, Barbara, like you do a car. So if you think about a car that's kind of dull, you can wax that and actually use a little bit of a very light rubbing compound, which is wax. So treat it like a car, put a coat of wax. Sometimes there are spray waxes that are available for this kind of thing, of wax your deck or wax your siding. A little weird, but it does work because it kind of closes those open pores, puts a little bit of sheen on it, and slows down how often you have to clean it, too.
Well, I will try that.
Yeah, and I'm kind of giving you pseudo solutions to some. I mean, basically, this is why composite decks, they were sold as maintenance free, and all that. Nothing's maintenance free, you know.
Right, right. Well, I just was wondering. I had no idea what to do with it. So.
Well, you'd be surprised how much better you can make it. Give it a good bath, like you did the awning. Scrub it down, rinse it down well, let it dry, and then put a wax on it. You can wax it with an auto thing, but be careful. Once you wax that and you get wet and you step out on that thing, you are in a very hazardous situation. So when you wax it, make sure you're being very careful in wet situations.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks so much for your help, and you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Barb. Happy 4th.
Thank you. Right. You too.
All righty. Bye now. Let's see what else we've got here. Let's go to, how about John? Hey, John, good afternoon. Welcome to KMWX. How can I help you, sir?
Hi, Scott.
Hello.
You got me?
Yes, sir. You're on.
All right. Hey, I work at the Sunset Hills Home Depot at the service desk. And I just want to let your listeners know that your guys that we deal with regularly are the most personable, polite, and courteous customers I deal with.
Wow. Thank you.
And I truly believe it all starts at the top.
Well.
That's you.
What? Yeah. What? Buck stops here, that's for sure.
That's all I got.
Oh, hey, John, thank you very much, and appreciating your customer service. That takes a boatload of skill there, too, John.
I know.
Well, thanks for your help and taking good care of our folks, too.
Hey, happy 4th of July.
Right on, John. Thank you, sir. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. Happy 4th of July. It still is the 4th of July. It still is happy. Some of us may have a few more problems than others dealing with this dandy health issue we are, and now financial as well. Oh, my. May we live in interesting times. Scott Mosby, Camo X, will be right back. All right, indeed, the last 30 minutes of the Helitech Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Suburban Leisure Center as well, here on University of Camo X. Let's visit with my friend Lorraine. Lorraine, good afternoon. How may I help, my dear?
All right. I had painted our deck here in South County, and also the deck in down at the lake. And with the Thompson stain and peel, stain and seal.
Yeah, yeah.
And both of the decks have they peeled, and I was wondering, we did power wash before I painted it, and it was we waited 3 days to really let the sun dry it out and everything, and I was wondering if there is anything else that would work that wouldn't peel up.
Not really. You're into the dance of, do I do regular wood and stain and seal it every X years, or do I do a composite or whatever? On anything that sits outdoors all the time, whether concrete, wood, a roof, or siding, St. Louis is just really tough. You did everything correct on cleaning the deck. I might have used a deck stripper first, because if there was any residue of a sealer or stain left before, then you're just painting the paint. You're not really painting the deck. But based on it bubbling and peeling as you're describing, of course, something was wrong. It could have been moisture. Because if you have 3 days between rainstorms and it's dry, but it's high humidity, the humidity's 60-70%, the moisture in the wood will not evaporate because there's no dry air for it to escape into. If the inside of the wood is as wet as the outside of the wood, you can assume you've got 3 days where there's no rain, or it appears to be drying and it's not. Painting and coating, staining decks, especially, all of that stuff is pure chemistry and physics. And I suspect it probably was still pretty wet, number one. Likely there were some residues of the previous material, and when we really want to be sure, we sand the decks. We literally just sand everything off, because it's the only way we, and you have to set all the nails and screw all the screws in below so you don't rip up the sanding pads and such. So it's and that's why composite materials are trying to be so popular, but they're still, they have their issues as well, as we discussed in the first part of how to clean my deck too, with Barb in her villa.
All right. Well, if I waited until the into the fall, not real whatever fall, but yeah, when the heat and the humidity went down, and then if I use the sealant, but still, power wash it to try to get all the looseness up, and then put a sealant on it first, and then try doing it again. Would that sound right?
I'd try a deck stripper first, because you've already done that same process. So I'd go another step beyond and make sure that there's no stain or sealer left, because, and frankly, the problem with a Thompson's or any other sealer is it soaks into the wood, and it's a semi-waterproofing type material. So recoating a waterproof material is hard to get the new sealer, the new Thompson's product, to stick. Because it's a sealed surface already. So that's where I come up. A better process would be to strip, power wash, rinse, let it dry and do it again, but there's no guarantee that you're not going to have the same, you know, failed surface. It's just, you know, you never know what's inside the wood. You know, bird droppings can drop all sorts of things that really contaminate that surface, and, you know, you don't know that's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a tough thing to do in this part of the country, and that's mm-hmm. why composites are getting so popular, even if they're, you know, laden with problems themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you've answered my question. You've given me a solid one. Now, to use the stripper, do you think I would do better, again, to wait until the all this summer that you enjoy so much in Missouri?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I do.
I'll wait until the fall and then try it that way.
Yeah, and then the dance is going to be with oak leaves. When the leaves start falling, you get the leaves in the wet. You know, that's what the native, you know, population used for paint and stains. So you need to get those leaves off pretty quickly, too. But, yeah,
The deck at the lake is goes over, you know, a portion of the lake, you know, so we can go out and get on the boat.
Very nice.
And so that has water under, you know, the lake is under the deck, under a portion of the deck.
That's hard to dry it out. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're making it sound like Mission Impossible.
But you're pretty close. I mean, your results are telling you that you're there, and that's – I don't have any real good luck. There used to be a whole lot of decks over the years built over the water like that, and and they were hard to take care of.
Yeah. But the one here by the pool, we have probably – we have a good 4 feet, 3.5, 4 feet between the pool and the deck here. That would, I guess I'd have more luck with that than I would the one down the lake, right?
Yes, and don't discount fans. Blowing a fan on that, you know, for those days, moving as much air past it, trying to get the evaporation to happen with whatever lower humidity you have, that wouldn't hurt at all. So fans are very common in coating, you know, professional coating companies.
Even down the lake?
Oh, especially down at the lake.
Oh.
Especially down because your moisture is trying to come up from the lake. The higher humidity just sits there. I mean, the fog just sits on top of the lake on cool mornings in the fall, and that moisture just sits on the underside of that deck. Well, then it's soaking. So if you're moving that stuff away, just like in a citrus field, whoever's growing citrus, they put those fans on to move the air to keep the frost from setting. Same way with the high humidity, fog, and the lake results too.
Yeah, because down at the lake, there are people that have their boats out, and of course, we're getting the wake from the boats.
Yeah,
you know, under the deck, it makes sense. But
yeah.
The fan that's doable at both ways. It'll be a little more awkward down the lake, but here, wonderful. Okay, you've been a great help.
All right, Lorraine, good luck. You've got your hands full.
Okay, thank you. God bless. Happy
Bye-bye.
4th of July.
Oh, thank you. You too. Thank
All
you.
All right. Bye bye.
Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX, lots of things. And I mean, frankly, if you do everything right, you still can have a failed coating because anything laying flat on the ground, whether it's asphalt, concrete, wood, deck, composite, roof, shingles, man, that stuff takes the full brunt and force of nature. So we are, as humans, in our buildings, we're trying to get away with it. Because, frankly, we're building artificial structures trying to create shelter from the elements. But Mother Nature's job is to drive us all back into the dust. So once we start trying to put coatings on wood or whatever, you know, we're really in a battle with weather. So anyway, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Scott Mosby, KMOX. I am at your service. We're going to take a short pause. Come right back. We are indeed live and lively. Phone lines lit. Phones going here on KMOX. Let's see what's happening with my friend Margaret. Margaret, good afternoon. How may I help you here today?
Good afternoon, Scott, and happy 4th of July to you and your family.
Thank you.
I have, my kitchen faucet, the sprayer that comes along with it, has very good water pressure, but the faucet does not.
Okay.
What would be the correlation there to cause that problem?
Actually, it could be the aerator. Do you know the aerator on the end of your spout?
Yes, I've taken that off periodically, you know, to clean that, and that's good.
It is?
Yes.
Hmm. That's a tough one then, because most commonly it is the aerator. I would also maybe soak that aerator, if it looks clean, in some vinegar. Be careful. Vinegar can indeed remove the finish sometimes because it's an acid, but that can remove the mineral buildup. But if you remove that aerator and keep all those pieces, just move it away and take the washer out as well. Try your pressure then. If the sprayer still has pressure and the faucet does not, then you've got something internal in the faucet, in the actual O-rings, valves, and you're ready to rebuild the actual. If it's a single single handle, you'll be ready to rebuild that.
It's a single handle. By rebuild, you mean purchase a new one?
No, there's a screw. There's kind of a knurled, or there's a textured surface around the top right below that handle, and it unscrews. And if you don't turn the water off, it'll blow off the top, and you have water all over your kitchen. But if you turn the water to that faucet off, you can unscrew the top of that, and then you have your hands full of a whole bunch of little pieces. And somewhere in those little pieces.
It's a single handle on top. You know, you turn it right and left for cold and hot. I've had a plumber take that little disc on the back, and he had a hard time getting that off. But he didn't actually get the handle off, but he could see where something needed to be tightened in there, and he used an Allen wrench.
Okay.
Now it held for a while, but now the faucet's loose again, so it's probably time for replacement.
Yeah, because I think you're having a mineral buildup in there, because if there's no mineral buildup, the plumber will have no trouble disassembling, you know, your faucet and fixing whatever. If he's having trouble pulling stuff apart, you've got a lime buildup that's like concrete holding those pieces together.
Sure.
So I think your best bet is to replace the faucet, frankly.
Okay, and if in removing the aerator and cleaning it, is there any wrong way to put that back together? Like there's a little rubber filter kind of thing, and there's only one way it should go?
Yes, it is. Be very attentive to how that comes off, because it goes back on the same way. And my mistake is there's always a little black washer up in there tucked way up inside.
Right.
And I turn that faucet on, and then I go chasing it through the sink and all, you know.
Right.
So.
No, I've gotten that out already, the O-ring or the little washer. But, I was thinking probably it was time to replace it, but I thought I'd see if there was an easy fix.
No. The easy fix is replacing it. The hard path is actually trying to rebuild that critter.
Right. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Take care, Margaret.
Bye.
I know. Home improvement. Let's see what's happening here. Let's go on to Mary. Hey, Mary. Good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help?
Thank you so much for taking my call and working on 4th of July. We are the second owners of a villa that is probably 17 years old. Our air conditioning is still working. It's the original air conditioner, but we're thinking maybe we should replace it. And I'm just wondering if you can tell me, on a 1,700 square foot two-level condo, is a 3-ton air conditioner sufficient? And also, do we need to replace the furnace at the same time?
Yeah, 3 tons, you're somewhere in that area, depending on how well insulated and how much glass you have facing to the south and the west. So the 3-ton load is about how many square feet, how much volume, cubic feet does it take? But then the next calculation is how much heat gain gets hammered in and through those windows and doors, which are literally holes in the wall. You're pretty close. 3 tons, somewhere between 2.5, 3. I don't think it would be as big as 3.5 tons. If you had a really well insulated and you had no windows, it'd be an easily 2.5 tons. So you're in the right neighborhood there, Mary. 17 years, you're prime time, because right about 20 years, everything's going to start giving up. So if you're replacing anything, when do you want to do this again? I tend to replace everything, because the parts that run all the time, the fan, the blower, the condenser. So frankly, by the time you replace the air conditioner, there's a little bit more, but the important big energy saving features are in the furnace, the air handler, and the convenient parts that, you know, you now you have a multi-speed air conditioner to where, you know, if it's 82 degrees out, you need a little bit of air conditioning. So the air conditioner runs kind of on, you know, with a slow fan. And then when it gets to be 95 degrees, the air conditioner runs fast and the fan runs fast. So there are a lot of little benefits, conveniences, and energy efficiencies that come by replacing the whole part and not just the air conditioner.
Okay, let me ask you this question then. For the last 5 years, we live in Florida in the wintertime, mm-hmm. and our furnace does not run a lot. Does that make a difference on the wear and tear? Because we turn our thermostat down from October till May.
yes, it does, but you're still not going to. Most homes in St. Louis use about 60%, 55 to 60% air conditioning, and then 35 to 40% or 45 on heating. So believe it or not, we do more air conditioning in St. Louis than we do heating. So I would invest in that. So yes, it does save your furnace a little bit. But underuse, if you ever get out of the bed in the morning and those knees haven't moved for a while, sitting still is oftentimes the more painful part than keeping in good active condition. So I would change it all. Atrophy happens all in the whole world.
I understand, because we do certain things in Florida when we close up the home down there. One last question. Our thermostat seems to work fine. Is it necessary to change to a new thermostat when you put in, like, a new air conditioner?
No. No, it is not. But again, like my answer on the air handler, if you're a snowbird away for the winter, if you're at all smartphone savvy, I would look into, if you have a Wi-Fi system in the unit, I would look into having a smartphone-operated thermostat. And you're going to replace a thermostat anyway, because if you get the features, you typically need a whiz-bang thermostat to go along with it. And when you do that for a feature, your laden unit, you're only a few dollars away from a Wi-Fi enabled unit, which allows you to turn the heat up or down, and you know, you can check the temperature of the house inside from Florida through the winter. It's just a little bit more of a comfort handshake.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and have a happy holiday.
Thank you, Mary. Goodbye. Take care. Bye now. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. Let's see if we can sneak in Bob. Hey, Bob, got a couple more minutes. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've studded up my basement wall. It's about a 50-year-old house. There's no moisture on the wall or anything. Mm-hmm. What's the theory about putting insulation in? I know that they don't want you to put plastic on it anymore because it creates a barrier. Mm-hmm. So would you suggest just putting in insulation and that's it?
I do insulation because it's the last time I can get to it. So I like unfaced fiber, rock wool, something like that. You can put a rigid foam if you want, but generally I insulate lower level basements just because I can't get to it again once I close up the walls.
Well, it's going to be paneling, not drywall.
Yeah, well, even so, it's inexpensive to add at that time and impossible later. So I do advise unfaced fiberglass generally, just no plastic and really no vapor retarder in the craft face either. But I do like insulation downstairs.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Okay, Bob. Take care. Bye now.
All right. Yes.
Hey, happy 4th of July to all of you listeners. Having another great show today. You are indeed the smartest listeners. Just the questions, the content, and, you know, some of these questions, you know, start at a high school level, and by the time we're finished, we're into the PhD, so you folks really know some stuff. So kudos to you. Happy 4th of July. God bless you all, and glad we're together.